Welcome to a special edition of York First Post Cricket Podcast. The date 15th of November occupies a very special place in the history of cricket, especially Indian cricket. 30 years ago today, a 16-year-old Sachin Tendulkar took his very first steps in international cricket in Karachi and changed the sport forever. Almost seamlessly, the babyface Sachin Tendulkar entered the Indian living rooms via television and almost instantaneously into the hearts of the people who watched him. Since then, he has been a constant obsession for cricket lovers across the globe. And even 6 years after his retirement, we haven't had enough of him. I am Vaibhav Shah, and along with me, I have some fine company in our very own Gaurav Kalra, Network 18 Group Sports Editor, and Devendra Prabhudesai, a biographer and author, the former BCCI Media Manager for Corporate Affairs, so someone who has worked with the great man and observed it from close quarters. So glad to have you both here.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
In fact, Gaurav, you had the opportunity to interview on this very day 10 years ago, celebrating Sachin Tendulkar's 20 years in international cricket. Before we start talking about him, I'd like to play a small clip from that interview.
Let me begin by asking you, do you remember the Karachi morning, 15th of November 1989? Is it as clear as that on 15th of November 2009?
Yes, I remember. I mean, I remember we fielded first, and the first day I was so exhausted. I went back to the hotel, I slept at 6:30 and woke up at almost 8:30, 9 o'clock, somehow had my dinner again, went off to sleep. I was so tired. Salil Ankola was my first room partner, and we were just discussing how the first day in Test cricket was, and said, never thought it can get so tired.
So at 16, you were a Test cricketer?
Yeah, at 16, I got an opportunity, I'm ever so grateful, and but it was an experience. I mean, that match was something. I mean, it happened to be Kapil Dev's 100th Test match, so the occasion became
and Waqar Yunus's debut Test match as well.
That's right.
Let me ask you, Sachin, did you ever at that point experience what mortals call stage fright? Did you ever think that maybe this is not where I belong just yet?
I definitely felt that way. The first innings, I was walking out to bat and the entire stadium was going berserk, and it was Wasim Akram bowling from one end and Waqar Yunus charging in. So, I didn't know what was happening. For a good 6-7 minutes, I had no idea what was happening around me. And that entire innings, I would say, it's kind of a blur now. I don't remember precisely what happened each ball. Normally, I do remember, but that innings, I just don't remember much. But I know that, I got out, I came back inside, and I was like, what have you done? What did you do? And this was not expected of you, and you're supposed to go out and do well. And I was extremely disappointed. I actually started doubting my ability. I said, do you actually belong here or not?
You both have had good fortune of being part of the Tendulkar journey, right from his first day international cricket in various capacities. I wasn't even born when Tendulkar made his debut, so I wanted to understand from you guys what it was like seeing, reading, hearing about a 16-year-old prodigy and who taking on who's who of the world in cricket. And tell me a little bit about those times, Gaurav, about the Indian sporting culture and India as a society.
Well, I think, since Dev and I are both much older than you are, Vaibhav, it's worth remembering that 1989, at the time that Tendulkar came into national prominence. In fact, he came into prominence sort of 88 when he made his first class debut as a 15-year-old, got 100 immediately in Ranji Trophy cricket. And at that time, you would get information about Indian cricket, not just of the sort of top level, but also you would get information about young players coming through, etc. But I think big picture is what we must think of is of that time, 1988-89. It was a dreadful time in Indian life in general. I don't know if Dev's experiences living in Mumbai were similar, but I grew up in the north, and Delhi, it was a really dreadful time. I mean, you had perhaps the worst time of Indian cinema. Amitabh Bachchan was acting in perhaps the worst movies he's ever made at that time. He was in Jadugar and Tufan and rubbish nonsense like that. It was a time of political uncertainty. The Mandal commission. It was the Rajiv Gandhi government had thrown away its mandate. It had lost an election, a sort of cobbled together government had come together. We were very unsure as teenagers about our future. It was a time of mediocrity. And I think we'll talk about it as we go along, and Dave should come in here as well. But this was like a flower of excellence in the middle of all this dreadfulness and mediocrity. As soon as you heard about this boy wonder, 15, 16 years old, I didn't see him. But I just read about him, and I remember my dad telling me about him, because my dad would follow cricket and read about it. And it was just incredible that in Indian life, something of that level of excellence could emerge from the mess we were in.
Being a Mumbaikar, I had heard of Sachin since 1987. So I was in the 7th grade at that time. So the Mumbai newspapers were very, you know, prompt in terms of reporting inter-school cricket. So we had heard about this boy, and being a sports lover, ever since I can remember, I have been reading the newspaper backwards. You know, sports lovers always, we always read the paper backwards. So Sachin Tendulkar was a known name on the maidans of Mumbai. And I distinctly remember reading about his and Vinod Kambli's inter-school partnership of 664 in February 1988. And that was when, like, he really hit the big league. And a couple of months later, I actually went to a cricket coaching clinic for the first time. I was 12 years old. And I distinctly remember I was at Shivaji Park. And I distinctly remember our coach, you know, getting us into a huddle and pointing to that, you know, there was a fair looking boy with a lot of hair on his head in the distance. And, you know, pointing him to us and telling us that, you know who he is? He is Sachin Tendulkar. He is the one who came up with that partnership a couple of months ago. So the word was out on the maidans that we were probably witnessing the advent of the next Mumbai legend. Then, of course, a few months later, he made his debut for Mumbai in the Ranji Trophy, scored a century on debut. He ended up becoming Mumbai's highest scorer in that season, the 1988-89 Ranji Trophy season. Sachin was Mumbai's highest scorer.
Wow.
But he wasn't taken to the West Indies, although he was himself confident, you know, of doing well. And then, of course, a year later in Pakistan, he made it to the team. And Gaurav just mentioned about it being a time of mediocrity. It was also a phase when the relationship between the BCCI and the players, which is so rosy and so harmonious today, they always seem to be on the same page.
Sure.
It was as bad as one could imagine. What had happened is that we had gone on a disastrous tour of the West Indies in early 1989.
Yeah.
The one that Sachin wanted to go on, but he wasn't picked. We lost 4-0. Fortunately for us, the first test was ruined by rain. Otherwise, we would have lost 5-0, but we lost 4-0. And some of the members of the team went on an unofficial exhibition tour of the US without taking the permission of the BCCI. And the BCCI ended up banning 6 senior cricketers for 1 year. Obviously, there was an uproar, and the ban was subsequently overturned. So the relationship between the board and the players was also as bad can be. So it was in these circumstances that, you know, you had this boy wonder making his debut for India.
Truly difficult times, you know, for 16-year-old, he doesn't know anything, he just knows how to play cricket. And that's what he's taken there for, and there is everything chaotic which is going around, and probably that was there with him throughout his career.
So see, I think what is important to remember is that while Tendulkar was supremely gifted, all of this is correct, an exceptional talent, but he was also a very methodically constructed creature. He was a product of hard work and coaching and focus. I mean, his brother, all these stories are very well known. You know, they've referred to the time of when the West Indies selection was going to happen. And another great Mumbai doyen, in a sense, Raj Singh Dungarpur, was chairman of selectors at that time. And the selection of Tendulkar was very much on the cards, but the decision was made because of the quality of fast bowling that the West Indies had at the time. He would have been not even 16, because the tour was in February, he would have been 15. April, he turned 16, April of 89, he's 1973 born. And had they taken him and played, Sanjay Manjrekar, his great friend at the time, made double hundreds on that tour, was the India standout batsman. But the decision was made to protect him from this, you know, this barrage of the West Indies, because it was inevitable that he was going to play for India. The first class season was over, he was going to play for India, and the decision was made to hold him back from international cricket. It's very telling, that great interview of Tom Walters that keeps getting referenced so often. You know, the first time he was on television, and he was asked about playing fast bowling, and he was asked about, oh, you know, do you have any fears about playing Malcolm Marshall? He said, no, I'm not afraid of him at all. And Tom Walters asks him, you faced Kapil in the nets, and It's telling. He's just got this smidgen of a mustache coming. He's kind of in the middle of his teens. And he says, yeah, he was pretty good. You know, this is India's greatest bowler at the time. So you have to think of the impact that makes on, you know, people like us, just a little younger than Tendulkar at the time, and grappling with what our future is going to be. That's the sort of time where you start to think, oh, what am I going to do with my life? I'm about 13, 14 years old. What? And then you wonder, you know, there's this sort of your contemporary who's this absolutely magnificent outworldly creature. He really was, in the truest sense, I think, according to me, a gift for our generation, because he made us believe what can be possible.
Did your parents refer to him as, there's a running joke of Sharma ji ka beta, like you know what Tendulkar is doing?
Fortunately for me, my parents were not into cricket, so I was spared sure. that. But as Gaurav mentioned, you know, he was a symbol of excellence. Mm-hmm. And as he said, that there was a lot of hard work behind the talent. It wasn't just talent. Acharekar sir made him, you know, go through the drill, so to speak, and made him play a lot of matches to begin with. And he just made his way through the ranks. He climbed rapidly. He did not have to play under 19 because he was already playing for India sure. at the age of 16. And there's a great story associated with his selection for the Indian team. So what happened is, when the selection panel met, two of the five selectors were a little hesitant, you know, should we take him to Pakistan? Because like the West Indies, even Pakistan had formidable fast bowlers. And Naren Tamhane, who was the West Zone representative on the selection committee, he said to Raj Bhai, Mr. Raj Singh Dungarpur, that I would like to tell you one thing, sir. Sachin Tendulkar does not fail. He will not fail. And that was how Sachin made it to the Indian team for that tour of Pakistan in November, December 89.
In fact, Vaibhav, just picking up from what Dev is saying, he's so right about describing that time about Tendulkar doesn't fail, because I remember hearing this from Shishir Hatangri Dev, and you know, he said exactly the same thing, that when I was batting with him in his first season, you know, usually you look at a young player and you say, oh right, you know, this player, he's good, but he's got to improve this, this and this, he's got to get better. What Shishir said was, it stuck with me all these years. He said, I was watching the finished product.
Yes.
A player who at 15, 16 was as accomplished a batsman as I had ever seen in terms of perfection. There's this other wonderful story about Sunny Gavaskar having just recently retired, hearing about Tendulkar but wanting to see him in the nets, but not wanting to, you know, scare him off by saying, oh, Gavaskar's watching me. So he parked his car at a distance and hid himself behind some trees to observe Tendulkar batting. And when he came back home, he told his wife, I've seen batting perfection today. It's hard to explain to your generation, Vaibhav, because you know there's so much excellence in Indian sport and Indian life these days. Great musicians, great sports people, so much accomplishment in the world of business, etc., that you have so many role models and people to look up to. It's very hard to explain what Tendulkar meant for that time, our generation of people, because he really was something above everything else that existed in our lives.
You're right, it's hard, but you know, I'm going to try and figure out through this podcast, and that's what I've been intending to do, to find context, to find perspective in it. You know, Tendulkar, we know the phenomenon transcended generations. Like you mentioned about Gavaskar, it's a wonderful story. I recently met Shubman Gill in a promotional event, and he was asked, who's your favorite player, or best player you've seen? And he said, my idol is Sachin Tendulkar. Shubman Gill is born in 1999. By the time he saw cricket, I think Tendulkar had his tennis elbow. He saw Tendulkar post that. Of course, he's got the benefit or the advantage of going back and seeing the YouTube videos. But, you know, live cricket would be something else. So, for somebody who saw Tendulkar from 2004 to 2013, he's saying that was the best cricketer I've ever seen. So, what was this phenomenon that transcended generations, that people are like, no, even Prithvi Shaw's like, I want to become Tendulkar. Gill is talking about him. Gavaskar said he was a complete product. Bradman told his wife, we know the story. How did he manage it?
Yeah, I think it's not often that you come across someone whose international career spans 24 years. And he really made that climb. So he started off as a prodigy, but went on to become the mainstay of the team. So that turning point for him was the tour of Australia in 91-92. In the first couple of test matches, he was batting at number 6. But by the time the fourth test at Adelaide came around, he was batting at number 4. So you had Vengsarkar, Manjrekar, Azharuddin, you know, they gave that number 4 spot to him. So he achieved it purely on the strength of his talent and his temperament. And then he just went from strength to strength. And the 90s also, I think it could be ranked as a decade where Indian cricket spectacularly underachieved. Given the talent that we had, we should have done much better in the 1990s. So there were just two cricketers who were keeping our morale high. One was Sachin and the other was Anil Kumble. Ganguly, Dravid, Lakshman debuted in 96. They took their time to come to terms with international cricket and its pressures. But Sachin led the way for Indian cricket in the 1990s. They used to often say that you get Sachin out and the match is won. And unfortunately, that is what happened several times. Like, and the most, of course, the most traumatic case was at Chennai in 1999. We were chasing a target of 271 against Pakistan, 254 for six, and Sachin was out. And the match ended within 4 runs. We were all out. So,
yeah. Or the 96 World Cup semi-final.
Or the 96 World Cup semi-final. Several instances. So, yeah, he was just a phenomenon. And most importantly, he did not rest on his laurels. So for youngsters, he was a great role model in terms of constantly having to work on your craft, constantly bettering it. You know, he came up with different ways in which to practice. You know, he would lay a plastic sheet on a wicket and he would tell people to bounce rubber balls at him. So he came up with different techniques to, you know, get better as a cricketer. That double century that he scored at Sydney, where he did not play the cover drive. The cover drive is a stroke that Sachin Tendulkar could have played in his sleep. But imagine giving up on that and going on to score 241 runs. I mean, that just shows his discipline. The 2003 World Cup, where he scored 673 runs, which remains a record. He was sleeping on the floor for the entire duration of the tournament because his back was paining. So, you know, he was avoiding soft beds. So that is the kind of player he was. And I guess that sort of tends to rub off on youngsters.
Sure. Like Gaurav told the interesting bit about the 1989 thing where your father told you about Tendulkar. You have an interesting story regarding the time you were interviewing Tendulkar for his 20th year in international cricket. I don't know if you've heard it. You should hear it if you haven't. And so how do you tell your kid, or do you tell your kid about Tendulkar and why it is so important? You said it's difficult to explain to the current generation, but what about the one which is going to come afterwards?
Yeah, well, I mean, no, the story is that at the time that Tendulkar's 20th year was completing in international cricket, my wife was 9 months pregnant and about to have the baby at any time. And we were all called in to do interviews with Tendulkar at the 20th year celebration. And I happened to fly down from Delhi, where I was staying at the time, and be in Mumbai, constantly worried that I would miss the birth of my child because I was interviewing Tendulkar, who was completing 20 years. And I finished the interview and in fact mentioned it to him, and his eyes were wide open. He said, go, go, go immediately. And I finished the interview and ran to the airport. But, you know, that's just a personal anecdote. I don't think, Vaibhav, that this is one of the things about Tendulkar. I don't think his aura or his luster will reduce with time going forward. I think that the iconic status that he enjoys in Indian cricket is one thing, but the accomplishments over the years will not fade from public memory simply because of the sheer enormity of the achievements. Over a course of 20-25 years, most of his batting, almost all of his batting, is preserved in posterity on YouTube, available on video for people to watch and enjoy, and for kids to see why he was such a special player. Yes, there are many other distractions, and perhaps future generations will not feel the same level of emotional attachment that our generation feels to a Tendulkar, perhaps yours as well, because you saw a lot of his playing years. Maybe that will fade, and that can happen, and I, you know, that's just the nature of modern life. But I think that in terms of the position and the eminence he enjoys in Indian cricket, I don't think you'll have to teach people that. I think it will be a very natural process. Shubman Gill and Prithvi Shaw are only, they may not have seen a lot of Tendulkar live, but they know that what has flowed from his achievements, that is fueling their careers. So that's the reason why he is so important in their lives as well.
So the legacy is, what you're saying, will continue no matter what, despite people having not seen him. Similar to Bradman's legacy in Australia, where it's passed on to generations.
Yes, definitely. He has set a benchmark that future generations would do well to, you know, get somewhere close to. It will be very difficult for someone to play that long and score that many runs and play that many matches. But at least they have something to follow, and they have this yardstick called Sachin Tendulkar, which they can always hope to emulate.
Let me take you back to a little bit of the context bit. We mentioned about the India as a society, but what about India as a sporting nation at that point of time? You, the Asian Games in 1990, we didn't win any medals is what I remember. But tell me
so
a little bit more.
Think back to that time again. I think they will remember this quite well. 86, India win a test series in England. It's a very good time for Indian cricket. Go to England, win 2-0 in England. But at that time, India isn't touring very much overseas. There's not a lot of overseas cricket happening. 87, Gavaskar retires. You know, this sort of colossus of Indian cricket retires. And although Kapil Dev is still around, he's not quite the great Kapil Dev that we've seen. He has sparks going forward, but 87, he retires. The 86 Asian Games, P.T. Usha wins 5 gold medals and really emerges as this heroine of Indian sport. But there's very little other than that that's going on. Mm-hmm. Ramesh Krishnan makes an okay. He beat Mats Wilander, who was the number one tennis player at the time in the world, number one ranked player in the world in the Australian Open. But very small smithereens of little success that Indian sport is enjoying at that time. Not the current generation, PV Sindhu winning a world championship medal, all these years of Vishy Anand dominating. The hockey team is in decline at that time. You know, they are not, they are not. So the cricket team is, you know, at best slightly better than mediocre. You know, some of the greatest players are the Vengsakar's on his last legs. Manjrekar's emerging, but not perhaps, you know, still seen as elite batsmen that are going to play for India. All of these things are there. It's a middling time. It's not a time of enormous success. 1990, India goes to the Asian Games. 88 draws a blank at the Olympics. Not a single medal at the 1988 Olympics. Then goes to the Beijing Asian Games in 1990 and wins one gold medal and that at Kabaddi.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're looking at a time of underachievement, subpar performances, a sort of dreadful time, like I said, Vaibhav. And in that time emerges Tendulkar. So, in that context, he is an object of wonder. You kind of look, we would get very little, I don't remember how much, Dave, but we would get very little telecast from Australia at that time. I don't think you would, you would not get the entire match. But to watch him play Whitney, Hughes, Mervyn's, Whitney, McDermott in Perth and get that 100, you were like, this is an Indian.
Yeah.
You know, it just blew you away because Indian players did not do that at that time.
And that tour was all about India struggling against fast bowling on fast wickets.
And in the dominant way that he did. So, that is the context of Tendulkar in 1989 when he made his debut. It was a very different time to 2019, that much I can tell you.
Dev, you've written books on Tendulkar, you've done biography on him, and tell me, you've watched him very closely. Tell me something more about the person which, you know, probably people aren't aware about. You've worked with him for so many years.
A gem of a person. Once he realized that you are committed and, you know, to your job and you are a professional, then, you know, he would go out of his way to help you out. My favorite Sachin memory, in fact, does not directly involve him. Indirectly, it involves him. So what happened is that this was 10th October 2013. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody knew that something is in the offing. So the 2011 World Cup happened, and 2012 December he retired from one-day cricket.
Yeah.
And you sort of knew that, you know, it's only a matter of time. And I was sitting on my desk in the BCCI, and I got a call from the then board secretary, Mr. Sanjay Patel, and he asked me, where are you? So I said, I am on my desk. Okay, just stay there. I'm sending you something, and it needs to go out to the media in the next couple of minutes. I was like, okay, I'm there. And that statement emerged, you know, that Sachin is. And I remember just going blank, and I sat holding my head in my hands for a couple of minutes, trying to sort of compose myself that finally my childhood was over. That is effectively what it meant, that Sachin Tendulkar retiring means childhood, our childhood is over.
This is a 39-year-old man saying
yes. And then of course that match happened in Mumbai, and he made that emotional 22-minute speech. You had people just breaking down all over the Wankhede. And I remember the match finished at around 12 o'clock, it was a Saturday. I remember going home, and immediately my phone rang. My Professor Shetty, my then boss, was on the line, and he said, we have to draft a media release because the government has just announced that he's receiving the Bharat Ratna. Those are my two Sachin memories that I will always treasure.
Almost perfect ending to his career as well.
But coincidentally, his international career was 24 years and one day, because his first test began on 15th November 1989,
yeah.
and his last test finished on 16th November 2013.
Yeah.
So 24 years and one day, and both coastal cities along the Arabian Sea, Karachi, Mumbai. That's also a coincidence.
That's wonderful. Sachin Tendulkar was an enigma that ignited hope in a world where there was none. A hope of excellence, a hope of triumph, and a hope is a beautiful thing. I would like to thank our guests Gaurav Kalra and Devendra Prabhudesai for sparing their wonderful stories and time for this podcast. It was great to have you guys here. 30 years of Sachin Tendulkar.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vaibhav.